We thank you again for another opportunity that we have to assemble together and share your word and fellowship together by your spirit. As we go into the word this morning, again, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. We pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so indeed I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all those who will hear me, those who are physically present here, and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great and sufficient measure, Lord God, to cause bodies to be healed, for healing, for deliverance, to break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, so I will deliver the word indeed with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving everything I mentioned in their own individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. Today we're going to continue studying God's word. And in my last teaching, we stopped in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we looked at the last three verses where Paul said, no flesh should glory in God's presence, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glory, the word glory is Old English, just means boast. You know, if you want to boast, he says you should boast in the Lord. And he was quoting from Jeremiah chapter 9 in verses 23 and 24, where God says, don't let the rich man boast in his riches. Don't let the mighty man boast in his physical prowess. And don't let the wise man boast in his wisdom. But if anybody boasts, you should boast in the Lord. Now, the point we made there was this. God in Christ, all men are equal. And women, incidentally. You know, the race problem and the gender problem that, you know, people talk about in the earth today, and, you know, all kinds of groups are coming up, you know, feminist groups, you know, trying to fight for women's rights and all of that. Jesus has solved it. Give him a clap offering, somebody. In Christ, there is no male or female. There is nothing a woman, a man can do in Jesus that a woman cannot do. There is nothing a black man can do that a white man cannot do. There is nothing a white man can do that a brown man cannot do. In Christ, God levels the playing field for humanity. When we come into Christ, all our previous inferiority and superiority complexes, inferiority and superiority advantages in life, by birth, by geographical location, by national identity, the things that make men boast, oh, I'm an American, or I'm British, or I'm Nigerian, or I'm Chinese, or whatever it is, or Russian, you know, all those things become nullified in Christ. It doesn't mean that they're not there. It just means that in Christ, you can attain into the highest level of human development as made available through to humanity through Jesus Christ, what the scripture calls the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And while that has not actually been experienced and demonstrated in the earth to any great degree, it is going to be demonstrated in the earth in this 21st century, what the Bible calls the third day. And last time I spoke extensively, particularly about wisdom, using Solomon, you know, as a type. In the Old Testament, the Bible says God gave Solomon I didn't say this in my last lesson. It was in my heart, but I never said it. But I want you to understand that what happened to Solomon was almost instant. Solomon had a dream. Prior to that time, Solomon didn't have that wisdom. He had a dream after he became king, and he had prayed a prayer, you know, that God should, you know, help him to be a good king. So God appeared to him in a dream, you know, and said, tell me what you want me to give you. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for all the things people normally ask for. He said, give me wisdom so I can be able to be a good ruler over your people. The Bible says the saying pleased the Lord. And God told him, I'm going to give you wisdom that's greater than all the people before you, you know, and in your own lifetime. And this is what we looked at. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. And largeness of heart. Largeness of heart here is not generosity. He's talking about mental capacity. You know, a mental capacity and sagacity that was, you know, as outstanding. You know, and the Bible says, even as the sand on the seashore, you know, that's talking about, you know, an infinite number, you know, infinite mental capacity. In our own modern day, we've come to see that there is a potential in the human brain for this to be a reality. And we see it in what is known as autistic savants. These people have some disability in one area, but magnificent mental ability in another area. This is not pie in the sky. This is something that people have, you know, they've done research on it, you know. If you just Google autistic savants, you will see all these people. In summary, you have those who have incredible photographic memories. Some of them are dead now because, you know, some of them they died, you know, recently. Some of them are still alive, you know, because they have other issues in health issues. Or you know, autism is some type of physical and mental state of a lack of development in some areas. So anyway, there's a particular person I'm thinking of. I don't know if he's alive or dead. They call him Computer Kim. His name is Kim, K-I-M. I think he's English, if I remember rightly. The reason why they call him Computer Kim is that he can read, if he's reading a book, he can use one eye to read one page and then a second eye to read the second page. And he'll just go through it like that. And all the thing he reads is recorded in his brain, just like a computer downloads something. And he can then repeat to you, line by line, with inerrant accuracy, everything that he wrote. The point there is this. It means that the human brain is capable of it. Now, sadly, because of sin and the sin nature, you know, we don't see that, you know, in everyday life amongst people. But the reason is because of the sin nature. So you have, among these savants, you have people who have, like this Computer Kim, incredible photographic memory. There are those who have incredible language learning abilities. They can learn a language in like 1 week. What will take you a year or 5 years to learn, they will learn and start speaking it fluently. There was another person, I can't remember his name now. There's an article on him or a book called The Rain Man, something like that. It's, you know, you see it on the internet. And you find that this guy, you know, he learned, I think, Icelandic language and Russian. He learned it in a week or 2 weeks and began to converse fluently in those languages. Then there's the artistic ability. There are those who can just look at something and draw it accurately. Just, you know, unlike normal gifted artists will take maybe a week, you do a little bit, this guy will just look at it and he'll just draw it instantly. You know, and then there are those who have musical ability. They can listen to a piece of classical music like Handel or Beethoven or Bach and play it back flawlessly. Flawlessly, without having to practice, you know, and there are those who have mathematical abilities. They can tell you what day of the week it will be. When is the 23rd of June in 2047? Just give them a random. He can do some calculations at a speed that only that even surpasses computers. What is all this telling us? It's telling us of the latent ability in the human brain that has been, I'm looking for the right word. There's a word we use in electrical engineering, and that's the right word, attenuated. The word attenuate means it has been reduced, you know, it has been suppressed. It's been suppressed because of the sin nature. That is why you don't see any of us, as of now, having that type of incredible photographic memory, or incredible language learning ability, or incredible artistic ability, or incredible mathematical ability, or incredible musical ability. We have ability, but you don't see that kind of ability manifest in one human being on a consistent basis without any downside. Where you do see it in autistic savants, there's always a downside. Either the person has, you know, even though he's so, he can see things like that. You know, he can has incredible photography, but on the other hand, you know, he can't button his shirt. You know, he has some disability, learning disability in another area. And it took me some years to see all of this. And I now began to understand that what God was selling us in the scriptures is that in Christ, God is going to restore that latent ability to its maximum value, to its maximum capacity, to its maximum, you know, capability. And Solomon is a type. So the Bible says, and God gave Solomon. He didn't have it before. I didn't say that last time. He didn't have it before. It was after he prayed that prayer, God appeared to him, and then God gave. And then Solomon now began to, in fact, if you read the account, he says he wrote thousands of poems. Apart from, you know, what he wrote in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he wrote many, many poems. It's there. Let's go to that First Kings. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. First Kings. It struck me when I was reading my Bible. It came to me by revelation. Now, this is not, it's just supernatural. It wasn't something, Solomon was not born with this. It was imparted to him. You know, let's all read together. 29, 30, 31. I'll just pick, you know, and as I go along, I'm not going to read everything. And God gave Solomon. I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor and say, and God gave Solomon. Solomon didn't get it by himself. It was a divine impartation. Now, Solomon had wisdom before. He had knowledge before. The natural one that he had after he had been born of his mom, Bathsheba. But when he prayed that prayer, God gave him, you know, supernatural knowledge, supernatural wisdom that made him wiser than everybody on the earth at that time. He says, and God gave Solomon, I didn't hear you, wisdom and understanding exceeding much. The kind of thing I was talking about. This computer came. It was tremendous, you know, exceptional, you know, what we call, you know, exceptional. exceeding much, and largeness of heart, mental capacity. You know, we have computers. You know, if you have a phone, if you go and buy an iPhone, you know, they'll tell you that this one has 256 megabytes. Another one, they'll tell you that, oh, this one has 512. You know, they'll tell you, oh, this particular computer, the amount of memory capacity is 1 terabyte. You know, 1 terabyte is 1 times 10 to the power 12 bytes. you know, the gigabyte is 10 to the power 9. And, you know, you have bigger computers with greater and greater memory. Now, what God is saying here, you see, at the time these things were written, man did not have the knowledge of computers. That's why revelation is continuous and progressive. When he said largeness of heart, you know, as the sand that is on the seashore, God was telling us that he gave Solomon an increase in his mental capacity that was almost literally infinite. That's what you mean by the sand on the seashore. He was just using a metaphor to try and explain what he was trying to say. You know, infinite, you know, I use the word incredible. You know, mental capacity. But the point I want to make, which I think is very crucial, that many of us haven't yet got, is the fact that it was God who gave it to him. It was a divine impartation. And the reason why that point is important is that the way we're going to get it also is that it is God who is going to give it to us. But it is going to happen when we grow spiritually to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It is going to be one of the great wonders. The Bible says, behold, I and the children God has given are for signs and wonders on the earth. Because people are, it will be a wonder. And they will know what you were before, and they will know what you were after. Everybody say, and God gave him exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is what? On the seashore. This is an infinite, incredible mental capacity that can do all those things I mentioned. That these autistic savants, we see them, you know, operate. So we know God allowed those things to happen. So we know that the human mind is capable of it. This guy here is a neurosurgeon, you know, although he's a vet, but, you know, he does a lot of research. Professor Lockwood there, you know, on the brain. They will tell you that the brain is the most complex and surprising machine. I don't know where the word machine is not good. You know, that is inside the human mind. It has, from research, you know, and their estimates, 100 billion neurons. That's just the neurons. When you begin to fire, they're like small electrical circuits, you know, and then all the thoughts in your mind, you know, your natural brain and all of that, they operate by electrical electrical currents, very tiny ones, you know, and pass information, you know, from neurons through what they call synapses and all. I'm not going to go into all of that, but the important point is this: the human brain is capable of far greater efficiency than it is currently operating. Prof, right or wrong? The best, the most intelligent human beings and mental prodigies that we've seen, you know, people like Albert Einstein and all of that, they're operating at 15% of the total available capacity. And up till now, scientists don't know why. We know that it is there. There are 100, you know, billion neurons. When you now do the interconnections, it goes to the trillions. But we know that we just don't know how to harness. We don't just know how to get that thing and bring it down so that, you know, we can move it from 15% to 85, 90, 100. People don't even go near 100. They'll say, well, that's not possible. Well, with God, all things are possible. Give him a clap offering. And that's exactly what Jesus has come to do. But that type of mental capacity, that type of wisdom, and this incredible photographic memory, language learning ability, artistic ability, musical ability, mathematical ability, will make a God out of a man. Because he will be so powerful. And if his character has not been perfected, he'll become a tyrant. Therefore, the prerequisite to getting this type of knowledge, this type of wisdom in Christ is character. That is why it is only going to be given to those who have grown to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that have grown up into Christ in all things, in knowledge, in understanding, in love, in joy, in peace, in patience, in kindness, in long-suffering, in gentleness. So they'll be like God. So they will have, they will not be God. They'll be like God. They will be like God, like Jesus was like God when he was on the earth. Now let me just explain that so that I'm not misunderstood. Jesus was God and is God. But when he was on the earth, his divine attributes of omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. In other words, when he was on the earth, he didn't know everything like God knows everything. Why? Because that part of God was stripped. It was taken from him. So he became like an ordinary man, like you and I. Now, he did get knowledge from God, but he got it like the same way you and I. That's why he had to pray every day. That's why he had to read his Bible. So the Holy Spirit will now give him revelation, just like he gives you and I revelation. Now, what happened, and what the Bible is telling us is this. If you grow into perfection, and the sin nature is removed from your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your body, that mental capacity that God gave Solomon, God is going to give you the same and greater. That was what Jesus had in his mind when he said that they came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. But interestingly, honey, Christ never demonstrated that when he was on the earth. He didn't. He demonstrated wisdom, don't misunderstand me, in terms of, you know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, knowing when somebody, but that's not what he was talking about. Because when we see what God gave Solomon here, you don't see Jesus, you know, telling thousands of proverbs and things like that. It was for us. Give the Lord a clap offering. And that is why the Bible says that, you know, that's why he said a greater than Solomon is here. See, there are many things that God made available to us in Christ that Jesus himself didn't manifest when he was on the earth. He manifested a sample to show us what is available. Then he went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to teach us what God had taught him so that we can walk like him. Then no wonder he said this, darling. You will do the works that I do and greater. This is part of it. This is part of the greater works. This incredible. And God gave Solomon, I didn't hear him, wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Now, let's read the next few verses. I'm not going to read everything. I'll just pick. But, you know, so that we can get the point. This is what the Bible says, what Jesus said, that a greater than Solomon is here. Yet you don't see Jesus doing these things in his lifetime. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East Country. That'll be like all our scientists today, all our, you know, physicists and scientists and all of that. And all the wisdom of Egypt. I didn't hear you. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahite. I don't know who that is, but it must have been a very, very intellectual prodigy when he was around, you know. A Heman and Chalcol and Dada, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. Now, that didn't happen in the time of Jesus. When Jesus was around, his fame went around, you know, just Palestine, you know, Judea, Samaria, and that was about it, you know. And what he was known for was not this wisdom. He was known for, of course, he had wisdom, don't misunderstand me, you know, like when he would give parables and he will give revelation and all of that. But that's not what the Bible is talking about here alone. It includes that, but that's not when Jesus was around. Basically, he cleansed lepers, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he demonstrated wisdom, like when he talked to the woman at the well, oh, you've had five husbands. You know, he had a supernatural word of wisdom and word of knowledge about specific things and time. Peter, before tonight, you know, you're going to deny me three times. So he had that, and we have that too. That's a part of it. But this thing that the Bible is talking about, of this type of supernatural wisdom that will astound the whole world, Jesus did not manifest it. And it's one of the things the Bible calls, he will do greater works. Hallelujah. And now he begins to give us a sample of Solomon's mental capacity. This is just a sample. It's not the full thing. Solomon himself demonstrated it to some degree. But you know, the knowledge of science and technology and the knowledge of man's knowledge of the natural world at the time this was written, and at the time it was very limited. And see what he says. He says, his fame was in all nations round about. In the time of Jesus, Jesus didn't have that in this direction. He didn't have it in this direction. It's reserved for us. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, it's reserved for us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. See, this is what the Bible means. When God gave me this revelation, I got clarity on this revelation about 2014. I've been preaching it for years, and I knew, you know, we even did this convention called the Greater Than Solomon, and I did talk about it, but the clarity, you know, and the accuracy of it came about 2014, you know, particularly a question of, you know, the photographic memory, language learner, you know, it all came together. Then it dawned on me. The word dawn means light came. No, that's what the Bible meant when it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men, the things God has prepared for them that love him. Give him a clap offering. Nobody has ever seen this kind of thing before. The only person that had something similar was Adam when he was first created. This before he fell. You know, but sadly, Adam fell, and it was not demonstrated in any kind of great spectacular way like we see with Solomon here and like it is going to be with us. You notice not something? Adam was able to name all the animals. What kind of capacity is that? Now, whatever Adam called it, those people who are in zoology and vet medicine, like Professor Lokpade and all that, will tell you that you cannot number the number of animals in the animal kingdom. Let's even just start with the insects and the cockroaches. Before we now move to the reptiles, oh my God. And this guy just stands like a boom, 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 boom. Hallelujah. And that was the name thereof. His understanding was, his mental capacity, that's the word, was infinite. But it dropped after the fall. But in Christ, it has now been restored. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's what we need to understand. He said in verse 32 and 33, and now I think I'll stop there and maybe take a little bit of verse 34. I'm going to read everything. He spake 3,000 proverbs. His songs were 1,005. So all the ones we see in the book of Proverbs is not everything he wrote. That's just a sample that was inspired that the Holy Ghost wanted us to have. He spoke of trees. This is zoology. Or botany. This is botany. He said, you know, just look into the vegetation and began to tell them all the kind of things, you know, that people are using thousands of years of research. Hallelujah. The hyssop, you know, he spoke of beasts. He's talking about animals. That's vet. And of the fowl, you know, where did he get that kind of wisdom from? It was God who gave it to him. Look at what he says. You know, and of fowl and of fishes, you know. And there, watch this. And there came all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth. Now, we know Jesus didn't do that in his lifetime. Yet, Jesus said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So there is going to be a company of people. And I think I'm looking at some of them. I want to believe I'm looking at some of them. I don't know about you, but I have decided I'm going to be one of them. Hallelujah. Who will have a wisdom that is going to exceed this? And people will come from all over the earth to come and say, what is this? Then they will say, ah, surely God is in thee. Then it is only at that time those scriptures will be fulfilled. They say, men of stature, they will come in chains. And they'll say, surely, because they will see the wisdom of God demonstrated in incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning ability, incredible artistic ability, incredible mathematical ability, incredible musical ability that they have never seen before. You can see the musical ability. He wrote 1,005 songs. Our great musicians today, you know, when maybe they will write 100 songs. Then about 10 of them will go to number one. And then we say, oh, this guy is a great Grammy Award winner. Imagine somebody writing 1,005 songs. And all of them go to number one. That guy is a multi-trillionaire already. And that's only in the area of songs. He hasn't gone to the area of physics and maths. And you can see that this kind of person is going to be a multi, not billionaire, trillionaire. This is what God has planned for us. The ability, I call it the ability of the mind of Christ. So going back to our Bible study in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it is in the light of this, Paul says, don't let anybody boast. Don't boast. You can't glory in God's presence because the kind of wisdom God has given us in Christ Jesus far outstrips any natural wisdom we had before. So the white man cannot boast. The black man cannot boast. The yellow man or the brown man cannot boast. You know, you can't begin to say, oh, I'm so great, or I'm so powerful, you know, I'm so wise and all of that. What we have in Christ completely makes what you have in the natural irrelevant. It totally outstrips it. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And so the Bible tells us, it says, therefore, no flesh should boast in his presence. Because what we have in Christ, of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, greater than the wisdom of Solomon, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, which is talking about character, and you know, us being redeemed from sin, and all of that. So that anybody who is boasting, he didn't say you shouldn't boast. He said, but when you boast, you now boast in God. You don't boast in yourself. You don't boast in, you know, the natural abilities that you have, you now start boasting in this Christ-enhanced ability that you have. You know, just before I leave this, you know, I'm also reminded of Daniel. No, in Daniel, look at, let's go to it. Daniel chapter 1, I believe it's verse 17. We teach this to our children in Life Forward. We've done it over the years. You know? And up till now, I always tell all students, if you're a Christian, you know, keen to this promise. He says, as for these four children, Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, God gave them. Turn to your neighbor and say, it was God who gave it to them. It was a divine impartation. Now, it wasn't as if they didn't have knowledge before, but there was an enhanced divine impartation that made them, what the Bible says here, 10 times better than their peers. Give the Lord a clap offering. And every Christian child, yes. Every Christian student, yes. Every Christian businessman, every Christian politician, every Christian economist, anybody can key into this promise so that your mental capacity and the wisdom that you have will be far better than the people who are in the natural around you. And you start with 10 times. That's not the limit. It's not the limit. You know why? The scripture says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what he can ask or even think. And when we look at what he did for Solomon, and then we also look at, I know these are difficult for people to believe. Tell your neighbor, say, Lord, help thou my unbelief. When we look at Solomon, and then we look at Jesus' statement, and the scripture cannot be broken. Jesus didn't say a Solomon will come. He says a greater than Solomon is here. So what Solomon had is greater than what Daniel had. Thank God for what Daniel had. But what Solomon had was greater than what Daniel had. And what we are having now is going to be greater than what Solomon had. So you won't just be 10 times better than your peers. You probably be 100 times better than your peers. No wonder why they will say, you know, surely God is in thee. No wonder why the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is it entered into the heart of man, the things God has prepared for them that love him. Do you know why the Bible says, behold, I and the children are given me, God has given me, are for signs and wonders. The children themselves become a sign. Not only will they do signs, the person himself is a sign. The person himself is a wonder. I hear somebody has incredible photographic memory. That guy is a wonder. He doesn't have to do any miracles. And you know what? On top of it, darling, not only will they have this incredible photographic memory and all of that, at the same time, the same people now will be healing the sick instantly. They will be cleansing lepers instantly. They will be raising the dead instantly. What do you call that? A God man. That's what the Bible means when it says, I said ye are gods. You now see, not only watch this. You know, you don't only see the healing power of God. You also see the infinite wisdom and understanding of God. So they partakers of the divine nature in a comprehensive manner. They partake of the divine nature in character. They partake of the divine nature in wisdom. And they partake of the divine nature in power. Complete. Give the Lord a clap offering. So they're not just sons of God in terms of their good people and their righteousness and all of that. That's going to be there. And that's the foundation. Without that, you can't get the others. You know. But they will also have the same wisdom God has. Now, of course, they will not be like God who has infinite wisdom. But in relative to man, they will have a wisdom like Solomon. He says, all the ends of the earth, they came to hear him. They won't add. They have been here. The Queen of Sheba came from Ethiopia. They had heard the rumor that there is this king in this land called Israel, that you have to hear him to believe it. The man's wisdom, the thing just flows out of his mouth. I was like, don't exaggerate. There's nobody like that. Nobody can do that kind of thing. So she said, let me go and check it out. The Bible says that when she came and she saw Solomon's throne and the money, you know, and all the gold and all of that, but that was not the important part. By the time Solomon finished speaking, he said that she asked him hard questions. The Bible said there was nothing she asked him that God did not show Solomon how to answer her. He said she fainted. There was no more spirit in her. It's going to happen. That's when they say, surely God is in. This cannot be man. This has to be divine. Am I talking to anybody here? So this is what is available to us in Christ. So when, you know, look at that little innocuous scripture. But of Christ, you know, is it made to you wisdom? It just looks as if just ordinary wisdom. It's not ordinary wisdom. It's divine wisdom. But I will thank God. If Jesus didn't tell us that it was a wisdom greater than Solomon, we will not be able to tie it to this scripture and get what God was really saying. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll just start that today, and then we'll continue with it, you know, I guess in the new year. Our next service will be on January 2, isn't it? January 1 is New Year's Day. Next Sunday, so next Sunday is in the new year. Okay, but let's just look at one or two things here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, glory to God. This, to me, is one of the most exciting topics in the Bible. You know, most Christians are not excited. You know why? They don't believe it. I'm not excited about it. I'm excited about it because I believe it. And maybe I should just mention this. I had a little bit of a brush with this many years ago. This was even before I became a Christian. And when I look back now, I now realize it was God who was leading me providentially, you know, sovereignly. At that time, I didn't know. Then he now brought me to know him later on during my youth corps. As a young boy, I'm talking about when I was 12, 10, 11, 12. Most people won't believe what I'm about to say now. I was an average student. I went to CMS Grammar School. In Form 1, I became 33 out of 36 in my class. Yeah. I was so poor in my class. My class was Form 1D. They created, in those days, they have Form 1A and B. Because population increased, they now created Form 1B, A, B, C, and D. I was put in Form 1D. And I was, you know, I was 10, 11 years old. I wasn't dull, but I wasn't what you would call brilliant. The other boys were, you know, ahead of me. You know, that Form 1, I passed. I think I got 59% or something when I went from Form 1 to Form 2. I passed. I didn't fail, you know, but my position was not very good. There were two reasons for that. Number one, I was very playful. I thought the world began and ended with Pele. 1970 was the year Brazil got the World Cup. I still remember. I can tell you the Brazilian lineup. Pele, Rivelino, Jairzinho, Edu. I can tell you up to today. That was what was in my head. You know, so I wasn't a very, you know, so I was kind of average and all of that. Then one of the senior boys called me one day. He was in Form 3. I was in Form 1. He gave me, in those days they were like God. He gave me a serious one. He said, you this Johnson boy. He said, you are very unserious. You're always playing football and all. He said, make sure you do your prep, you know, and you do your homework and all of that. So that scared me and it made me a little bit more serious. So by when second time, third time, I started doing better. You know, got to Form 2. In Form 2, I did better. I just did better, you know. My position came from, in Form 1, I think my position was, you know, in the 50s. It was class of 100 and something people. So I moved to number 14, entered the first 20, you know. I got 90 in maths, something I'd never gotten before, you know. And I started, because I started paying attention, I started, you know, concentrating. But that was not really the miracle. Form 3 and Form 4, we started physics and additional maths. I had no clue. The man who came to school was like a magician. That was the name the boys in the class gave him. Only magician Timbo. I will never forget this experience. I was on my bed. I was crying. I said, God, please teach me this. I didn't know God like I know God now. But this actually literally happened. I said, God, please teach me this physics. God, please teach me this maths. I don't know it. And I was weeping and I was crying because I wanted to do well, you know. And it was like, just like Solomon. It's like a light. Beep. After I prayed that prayer, just like that, you know, I began to study. So all of a sudden, I just understood it. It was just light. I moved from that. I came second, I think, in the whole class. Then from there, in Form 4, I came first, and that was how, till I left school. And then I came straight to University of Ibadan. No. I'm not saying that for you to clap. I'm saying that to show you that there is a divine aspect in this thing. It is God who brought light to my mind. I didn't understand it at the time. Then I had another experience in UI. I'll close with this. I had another experience in University of Ibadan. When I came into UI, when I entered UI, again, I was not a Christian at first. I became a Christian later. You know, when I came to University of Ibadan, I had a cousin. He's still, you know, he became dean of Faculty of Engineering, Professor Godengbe. He's, you know, cousin from my mom's side. He was in King's College before he came to UI. And he did his A levels in King's College. You know, he had A in physics and all that. So he used to come to our house in Ikoyi and he used to encourage me. He said, "Oh, Lubi, don't worry, you can do it." In fact, he said, "Go and buy the UI form." He said, "His concessional exam is A level." He said, "I will help you." He gave me his book, his A level book. He said, "Take my A level book." He said, "You can do it. Don't worry, you can do it. I'm sure you can do it." And you know, lo and behold, I did what the man said, you know, and I, you know, worked on those things and God help. God had, looking back now, and it was God who had mercy on me. He opened my understanding, you know. And I went from Form 5. I didn't do A level. I went from Form 5 straight. In those days, 30,000 people would do concessional exam. University of Ibadan was the most competitive. And they take only 300 for prelim. I was one of them. And I didn't do A level. I now, when I look, I know it was God. I'm trying to tell you that this thing is not theory. It really works. Then I got into UI. Then my same cousin now told me, he said, "Olubi, you can get a first class." Ah, I said, "First class? Yeah, yes." He said, "Don't be intimidated." He said, "Look at Balogun Chikeobi. Balogun Chikeobi was 1 year ahead of me. He came from King's College. He had 9 A1s. 10. You know, and he was in physics." So he said, "That guy, you know, he came from KC. Say you can be like him. You can even do better than him." And starting just put something inside me. I said, "Okay." You know. He said, "But you have to start doing well from the beginning." Then God brought a Christian. Now I look back and it was all the divine plan. He brought a Christian who became my best friend. Who he too was doing physics. He came from Government College Ibadan. You know. And so we started. Anytime I went to class or my mind was, you know, my head is paining me. I used to have all kinds of, you know, when you don't know the Jesus, you know, all kinds of oppression, you know, I would not feel good and all of that. I just used to do something. That time I didn't know what I was doing. No. It's a true story. And I believe this story is very relevant so that you can know that we're not talking theory. We're talking something that really works. I would go and lie on his bed. I was in Sultan Belo, he was in Kuti. You know? You know, if I just feel, that time, not looking back, I know it was God who was leading me. You know? Because he was a Christian guy, I would pray. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. So I just lie on his bed. When I lie on the bed, you know, when I wake up, I just feel good. And if something, you know, maybe there's a problem they gave us in class, in maths or physics, you know, Dr. Aguloe, Professor Hussein, the guys in mathematics, you know, the solution will just come. Bim. Ah. This guy, he too, he'll just, I'll say, "Lai, what do you think about this?" He said, "I'm not sure." He said, "But let me just pray about it." I wasn't a Christian, but he was, you know. And, you know, he'll just say, "I think I got it." And then we'll just look at it together. I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "That thing occurred to me too, you know." And do you know, I say this to the glory of God, not for you to clap for us. Both of us had first class in physics. I am told, I wasn't a lecturer there. Professor Hussein told me, late Professor Ete, you know, late professor, he even came here, Professor Awe, he came here when he was still alive, many years ago, remember, you know, and all of them, you know, all my lecturers, they tell me, I don't know, you know, but they told me, all of them, Dr. Sonny, they all told me, they said that the first class you boys got, he said, nobody has ever got anything that is close to it. Balogun Chukwuebi had, I think, an average of 71, I had 74. Lai Banjo had 89. It was God. Other people I've had after also, but I have been told by my lecturer, I said, you guys, you're the kind of... I was getting things like, I'm just telling you this. I'm telling you the glory of God, and I'm also telling you that it works. This wisdom of God, this ability of, is God who gives it. Are you listening to me? It was not what came, even though I was naturally talented to some degree, but what came to me was divine. It was light. It came, you know, Solomon was not born again. So it came from the outside through the influence of the Christian that was around me and an honest heart. That's how God helped me. I was getting things like 98%, 96% in university. Many of my marks were 90%, particularly in maths. In physics, because of the practical, I would get 80, you know, maybe 82, 84. In some places, I'll get 70. In some places, I'll get 60 and all of that, you know. So by the time they averaged everything together, they said it would, they didn't think it was possible. But it happened. God will do the same for you. Stand to your feet. I said, God gave them. I didn't hear you. Then I said, God will give me the ability of the mind of Christ. You see, Christians, I was talking, we were with our friends yesterday, you know, the additionals, president of the AFDB Bank, my bank, and I went to see him and his wife, you know, just to fellowship with him. And he said they had the same problem in Ife. The Christians glorified failure. As if, you know, we're a Christian. Say, no. And now, so, but there were some other brethren who were in the fellowship back in those days, you know, and came and told the children, said, you Christians should be the smartest guys on the campus. It's the Christians who should be getting first class. I didn't hear a clap. It's the Christians who should be getting first class. So he didn't listen to them, oh. You know, he was a party guy, then he got born again, you know, and then when he got born again, he took his this thing seriously and asked God to help him. He came out with a first class. First class. Christians, watch this. Honey, I just got a tweet from heaven. Christians are first class people. I didn't hear. Excellent! Christians are first class people. We've seen this thing work in life for two. You see, little children, they come from England. They'll say, oh, this one has learning disability. That they cannot do this, they cannot do that, they cannot do that. They come to life for, we come and begin to tell them, you know, there is nothing you cannot learn. There's nothing you cannot master. There's nothing you cannot excel in. Then we tell them, pray in tongues and speak God's word. We do it in life for junior too, you know. Ore and Ikechi, you know, they tell the children to start saying it. I have the life of God in me. You know, I have the wisdom of God. I have the ability with God, all things are possible. It is not theory, brethren. We have seen children who have come with so-called less than average disability, and God will open their understanding. The same children today have first class. In universities in England, America, they come and they excel. Ever say, and God gave them. And God will give you. This is part of Christianity. It is a part of our spiritual heritage. Don't waste it. Don't waste it because of unbelief, foolishness, and laziness. Christians should be, the best doctors should be Christians. The best engineers should be Christians. The best businessmen should be Christians. Because you have the ability of the mind of Christ. You should be, start with the minimum 10 times better than your peers. And then move on from there. Glory. Give the Lord a clap of example. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Put one hand, yeah, we'll start 1 Corinthians chapter 2 next in the new year. This is so important that these points, and then I use practical examples to show. We're not talking, the Bible is true. And after I became a Christian, I just went ballistic. Ballistic. The kind of knowledge, wisdom God gives me. You know, I can read a book like this now. Boom, I get it. Sometimes I have photographic memory. I can look at something and it's there. It's like putting the thing, scan. You know, when you do a photocopy, the paper does not try to remember. The information is on the paper. I don't know if you got it. You're not trying to remember something. The thing is just imprinted in your mind. That's what's coming. Don't your neighbor say, don't miss what's coming. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. These things that God has prepared for us. Let's put you in the equation. I would have gone to say for them, but I want to bless you this morning. For us who love him. Now make sure you love him. Because those who love him are those who keep his commandments. Raise that hand. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. Receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Oh God, help my unbelief. I confess my sins, especially the sin of unbelief, not believing your word. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I receive life and power in sufficient measure. Oh God, I have heard your word and I choose to believe it, that you will give me, as I grow spiritually to the measure of the fullness of Christ, as I grow in Christ in all things, help me, Lord, to get the ability of the mind of Christ. Like you gave Solomon, give me wisdom. Give me largeness of heart, like the sand at the seashore, so that I will become a wonder and a blessing to my generation. Help me, Lord, so I'll be at least 10 times better than my peers and grow from there to show forth your wisdom and your glory to my generation and for the blessing of humanity. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Ghost, mercy, Lord. Thank you for your blood, Labrakasha, for your life, Shekatufrine, for your power, Nikordolo, Ratolom to Fridufrines, Tolom to Frides, Tolom to Fridus, Tolom to Frishi, Zika to Fre, Doklom to Fridufrish, Zeka to Frinet. In Jesus' name. If you're sick, if you are home, just stretch forth your hands towards your screen. That's just an act of faith. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I can touch, just simple act of faith. God doesn't require complicated faith from, you know, people who are not Christians yet and then for, you know, young Christians. Simple act of faith. Just stretch forth your hands and I'm going to pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name against the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of oppression and depression, you know, in the emotions and in the mind and in the soul. We cast you out. We destroy your works. We bind you in Jesus' name. We send the healing word. You sent your word and healed them. And you delivered them from their destruction. Be thou made whole. And be thou delivered. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. That has really not been explored to any appreciable degree. A few people like E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin, have spoken about these things. Those are the only people I can remember that really spoke about this kind of thing, you know. I, as a young boy in Imperial College at 21, is one of the things that made me convinced to go into the ministry, you know, and leave what I was doing in England. I wrote it. It's on our website. So this is what my life is all about. Because I recognized that in Christ, everything I'm trying to chase in the natural, I got it here. The pearl of great price. So you go and sell everything and keep that one price. Because once you got that, you got everything. And look, the years are now showing that what I did was the right thing. And we haven't started yet. The world is about to see some. There's about to see an invasion of God men. See, Jesus was God who became man. He is now taking men who become like God. That is the true meaning of this gospel. The purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to extend the Godhead. Man is made in the image and the likeness of God. He lost it when he fell. But through Jesus, he has been reinstated. And every God attribute that is inside God is inside you. Character, wisdom, and power. And you need to demonstrate all three at a level that people will say, yes, God is in thee. Good morning and God bless you.